So, last Sunday, when I spoke about the fact that we need to work together as believers in Jesus Christ in a humble and harmonious fashion, considering one another more important than ourselves, that was the big key point in the way we interact with people. Well, one of the things we talked about in there was moving in the works of the Holy Spirit and spiritual gifts. Because I mentioned it, that every believer has a unique supernatural gifting of the Holy Spirit, a manifestation of the Spirit's given to each one for the common good. The question is, how do we use those gifts in our daily practice, our daily walk as a Christian, and in particular what Paul's talking about, both in Romans chapter 12 and also in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He's talking about the body of believers using these gifts and abilities together in a very unique fashion so that we have a complete ministry. And I said I was going to get into the study of these spiritual gifts. Well, and I will do that. But I thought before I do that, I really need to go through a study on the Holy Spirit, because there's a lot of confusion about the ministries of the Holy Spirit. And so I have a handout here for anybody that did not get one. Maybe we could get that passed out. There's a couple people back there that didn't get one. But each week, until I finish up this study, I'm going to have another handout. And these will all be, like tonight you have the first two pages. There'll be page 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There's probably 12 pages in the whole study. And so we'll be trying to do 2 pages a night. And this is from a handbook that I was putting together. It was a handbook for church people, group leaders, those that are teaching Bible studies. So they have a quick reference to these doctrines in case they were asked in the group, now what about this, you know, and it's all indexed. And so I've been working on this for 2 years, and I haven't gotten it done yet, and it doesn't look like it's going to get done anytime soon. So that's just the way it is, because I'm flat out right now, to be honest with you. But I'm hoping we can get through this. I actually started out with doctrine number one, which was God, and talking about the triune God and the proofs of the Trinity. But because I said we were going to do the Holy Spirit, we can break this up. And so this is the fifth doctrine that I started pulling together. And it's not just for me. I mean, I've taken all the studies that I did at seminary. I actually taught systematic theology, and I took a series of writings on all these things and just pulled it all together. But the main thing is this. There's no correct doctrine except what is presented in the scriptures. Okay, so everything else, the opinions of men, doesn't really count if you think about it. So I'm giving a little of the introduction here, but there's a lot of people writing stuff and have opinions. My effort here was to say, here's the point and here's the scripture that shows this point. Because if we have the scriptures, we have all we need. And actually, when I taught systematic theology in seminary, I used to hold the book up and said, this is a great book. It really was a pretty good book, written by Thiessen. It was one of those ones that were used for years. But then when I said, but there's only one true book that's totally accurate regarding theology, and that's this book. And so when you write your papers and all that stuff for me, I don't want to see the opinions of men. I want to see the opinions that are proved through the scriptures. You may have a different interpretation. That's okay. I might disagree with it. But it has to be founded scripturally. And so that's my attempt with this whole study. So if you get my drift where we're going here. So we're going to look at some things. We're going to be looking tonight at who is just a basic introduction of the Holy Spirit. And we'll probably get through this very quickly. Excuse me. These allergies are starting to really fix me up good here. But and we're going to look at things like this. We're going to go through who the Holy Spirit is, and then we're going to talk about what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit then is going to do things in the global sense around the world. The Holy Spirit is also going to work in individual believers through various ministries like the baptism of the Spirit. the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the regenerative work of the Spirit, the sealing of the Spirit, and the filling of the Spirit. Those are five key doctrines that we're going to look at and what that means. And one of the key ones for us is the filling of the Spirit. What does it mean and how do we participate with God so that we shall be filled by the Spirit? That's Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, and many other verses. And then we're going to take a look at how the Spirit works in the church, leading and directing and working through the entire congregation. And then in there, intertwined with that, will be something about spiritual gifts. And we'll go through the gifts very quickly so that you have an idea of what they are. And then the big question always is, how do we determine what our spiritual gift is? And I'm not really a great proponent of spiritual gift inventories. That's just my personal opinion. I think they may be useful, but they don't always give you an honest picture. And so there's other ways we're going to take a look at that and how to determine these. So this is going to take a while, but I think it'll be useful for us all, and maybe more people will come in, and we'll start building basically a little booklet of references for this doctrine. And it's called pneumatology. And pneumatology basically is the science of the Spirit. But pneuma is an interesting word in the Greek because it refers to breath. It refers to air moving. And remember Jesus when he met with Nicodemus and he said, Nicodemus, unless you're born of the Spirit, you don't see the kingdom. And Nicodemus, he was puzzled by that. He didn't understand what Jesus was talking about. And Jesus said, you're a teacher of Israel and you don't know these things? And because it was all spoken of back in the Old Testament. You go to Ezekiel chapter 36, one of my favorite passages of Scripture, talks about that new covenant and the work of the Holy Spirit, that God will move in the hearts of people. So it's all there. And it was all there. It wasn't just, this is just not some new teaching that Jesus brought or Paul brought along. This was a teaching that comes all the way back from the Hebrew Scriptures. And so we need to understand it. And you can see it right in the beginning. The Spirit of God hovered over the creation. So we're going to talk about that a little bit too. So tonight, let's just talk and start out by talking about this. Who is the Holy Spirit? And first, the Holy Spirit is a person. Now, you see the passage of Scripture I wrote there. I underlined three, a he, five times here. When you look at the Greek text specifically, there are two times when a masculine pronoun is used in that text. And it's when the Spirit of truth comes, he, and that's a masculine pronoun. And the other ones are inferred on context. And then when he says, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own. And his own is a masculine pronoun as well. And so you see that basically right there, Jesus is referring to the Holy Spirit in a personal way. And that's important for us to know. A lot of people mistakenly say they refer to the Holy Spirit as it. And the Holy Spirit is not it. The Holy Spirit is not an impersonal pronoun. He is with us. He's a person of the Trinity. And that takes us to the next point. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. He is God the Spirit. And we see it. This little diagram you see to the right there, that's by Wayne Grudem. You can write his name down if you want on that. But he put this in his systematic theology. And it shows us something about the nature of the Trinity, which is difficult. We all know that God is one. For the Lord, we know that the Old Testament teaches the Lord your God, he is one. But when we study the New Testament and even the Old Testament, we see that there's the Spirit of God, and then we see the Son of God, and these three are one God. And that's the hard part. You can't really get that full picture. So he put this diagram together to show us exactly what he's kind of a way this what this means. First, the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. But the Father is not the Son is not the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is not the Father. And so they are, God eternally exists in three persons, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so one God exists in three persons. Can we fully comprehend it? I've heard all kinds of definitions. They asked me on my ordination exam, to explain this. And I told them I couldn't. And I think they were satisfied with that. I said, this is a concept that goes beyond. And you don't see the word Trinity written in the Bible. We derive the construct of the Trinity by seeing that each one of the persons is, in fact, spoken of as God. And I'll get into that just a little bit right here. When we go to the Trinitarian explanation, if we ever get to that point, then you'll see all the proofs of the Trinitarian doctrine, which I wrote in there. Okay, so we see this. Now, remember the story of Acts chapter 5, when the church was just formed, and they were taking and selling their properties and giving money to the church. Well, there was a couple named Ananias and Sapphira, and they were in there, and you probably, most of you know the story, but what happened was they sold a chunk of property off, and they gave some to the church and kept some back. Well, this is where we see something very interesting, because you'll see the verses there, Acts chapter 5, verses 3 through 4, it says, "But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land?" So apparently what was happening here is they were putting on the pretense of giving it all, and they didn't give it all. They kept some back, and it was to make themselves, this is an issue of pride, the pride of life, is they wanted to look good in front of everybody else. I'm kind of glad that the Lord doesn't deal with us exactly the way he dealt with these people today, because we kind of stumble in this area, I think, a lot. We put a lot of pretense on. But it says, he goes on, he says, "But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart?" So there's where the source of the problem is. And then he goes on this, he says, "You have not lied to man, but to God." So in the beginning, he says, you lied to the Holy Spirit, and here he says, you've lied to God. And so it's a connection that we can see where the Holy Spirit and God are one, that God, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is, in fact, God, the third person of the Trinity. We also see a similar understanding when we compare the thoughts regarding the development of Scripture. And in 2 Timothy, we read, "All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness." So God has breathed the Scripture out. That's the Greek word theopneustos, And the word there, that theopneustos, means God breathed. God breathed. Literally, it means God breathed. Some of the translations will say it's God breathed. I actually like that. God breathed that a little bit better, but it's the point that's brought here. And they're breathed out by God. And when we go to 2 Peter, here's what Peter wrote: "For no prophecy is ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." So we see that it was breathed out by God, and the Spirit of God was one who moved in these men in such a way as to bring forth his word. Interesting, because the word Spirit means is pneuma, and breathed out by God, theopneustos, comes from the same kind of root. And so we see the breath of God coming forth. So that's the two key points we need to understand. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is God. And now I wrote a real complicated doctrine here called the doctrine of procession. And what does that mean? Well, there's some misunderstanding of what this means. In those days, in the older days, there was a movement, and there has been a movement, to say that there was God and then he created Jesus and created the Spirit. That's a false teaching. And we can go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, and we see that, and also John 1, 1, and through there we can see that everything was created by Christ. You know, in the beginning was the Word, what was with God, the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt for a while among us. We find that these three, the Holy Spirit, the Son, and the Father, were all actively engaged together right from the beginning. And so they are eternal beings, eternally existent. And so this this doctrine is basically a way to explain the eternal procession of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So let me just go down through you. In John chapter 15, verse 26, it says, "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me." That word "proceeds" is present tense in the Greek, and it indicates that there is an eternal and continuous relationship of the Holy Spirit to the Father and the Son. It's not ending. It had no beginning. These were in the beginning, or before the beginning, actually, because God is eternally existent. And so these are eternally existent. What does it mean in a practical way? And I'm kind of rush through this, but if we go over to page 2, there's something interesting we have to understand. Because if the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are actually equal, then how is it that the Son obeys the Father and the Spirit obeys the Son? So what does that mean for us, and what is it demonstrating to us? And that's the big thing that we can gain from this. First of all, I wrote it down here, if the Father, Son, and Spirit are one, how is it that Jesus obeyed the Father? And we can read those verses later on. You can look at those. And the Spirit submitted to the Father and the Son. Well, look at what Jesus said in his writings. John chapter 5, verse 30 says, "I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me." In other words, Jesus saying, "I only did the will of the Father." And then in 16, verse 7, of John, it says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go," this is Jesus speaking, "the Helper will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you." So that Holy Spirit is obeying the Son. These are co-equal people, persons, right? One person eternally existing, or one God eternally existing in three persons. But it's an orderly arrangement. It's the way I spoke this, I think it was this Sunday or the Sunday before, I'm not sure. I said that as a believer, as the pastor, we're all equal. We're all co-equal. We just have different roles and responsibilities, but we are equal in the Lord. And here we see this demonstrated in the Trinity, and it's an orderly arrangement. It is done perfectly and in sync with the heart of the triune God, because all parts of the triune God, all persons, are working together in a harmonious fashion to accomplish the greater purpose. And this is the way it is for us as a church. Where there's nobody here that's a star. Remember, I shared that this past Sunday. We're all stars, if you really think about it. And that's the way I see the Trinity, too. They're co-equal and all functioning in a very harmonious fashion, and they demonstrate to us really the way we should be functioning as a church. And so when, you have a pastor and he's setting direction, he's the one that we should look to and we should say, okay. But he's not lording it over. Does that make sense? You see, it's a proper functioning relationship. And we're all considered as equal. That's why your pastor, whoever you call, he ought to be a listener. He ought to be listening to you. And he ought to be partnering with you in ministry, not telling you, here's what you're all going to do, if you get my drift. And so there's a real need for this partnering together in ministry versus, and I've been under some leaders in my life, not pastoral leaders, but leaders who basically are my way, the highway. And you know what happens when you say that? People hit the highway. So that's it. Well, that's all we have time for tonight. So next week when we get together, we're going to have a little bit more time. We're going to talk about how the Holy Spirit ministers globally and then start looking at some of the ministries of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so we'll pick this up next week. Does that make sense? We did go a little bit long tonight, but that's good. No sense rushing through it. No sense staying here till 11 or 12 o'clock this evening. Okay. Let me pray for us and we'll be going. Father God, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you that you have a plan for our lives. We pray you bless us as we go. And Lord, I thank you for the ministry of your Holy Spirit in our lives. We thank you that we don't have to lead our own lives. If we did, and of course when we did it, Lord, it was a total mess. But now, Lord, since we've been saved, you sent us this great gift of the Holy Spirit to lead us in life. And so that we can do things your way, do things which are a blessing rather than hurtful and get us on the wrong path. And so I thank you. Thank you for this ministry of the Spirit. We thank you for your time that you have joined us together tonight. And we pray your blessings. Dismiss us with your blessings right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, everybody. I'm off. Yeah, I will.